So with that, let's thank the Lord for today's message in Jesus' name. Lord, open our hearts, help us to understand, and Lord, let our hearts be free from stress in Jesus' name. Well, good morning once again. I want to just encourage you to say, well, where am I? How did I get on the site? We are in a series. That series is entitled Overcoming the Dark Side of Stress. That's the series. We recognize this, that overcoming the dark side, not all stress is bad. We're not trying to eliminate all stress. We know that some stress is very helpful to get us motivated. We realize our retention level is much better when we're under stress. But longevity of stress affects the human health. It does. And when sometimes people go into tremendous despair, even making changes they shouldn't just to get out of the stress. So during this holiday season, I thought, Lord, should I? Yep, should I? And we will. We're going to talk about stress today. It's all about time. That's the name of the message. It's all about time. Now, time is one of those big stressors that most people face. So we're going to deal with that today. We're going to take a look at it. And I like time. I think time is one of those equal opportunity employers, isn't it? We all have the same amount of time. I mean, each year there's 365 days in the year. The days also contain, when we talk about that, 8,700 hours in the year. There is 525,700 minutes in each year. So each of us, we take a look. The rich cannot buy more time. The science cannot invent more time. You can't take time and say, I'm going to store it up for tomorrow. I mean, what you have is what you have. It's worth noting that time itself, it's important that you and I understand our purpose, because time is really essential for that. To kill time, I find, really kills our future. And then yet, time is very forgiving. There's a lot of grace in time. If you kind of squandered this year, you know what? There's always tomorrow. That's the beautiful thing about time. If there is, if God gives us a time. But I think when we take a look at this, I like the fact, and you can see on your slide, we've picked Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, where the psalmist literally says this, says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. So we're going to take a look at some things. I want to highlight that. I don't want to add stress to your life, so please forgive me if this is going to come across that way. But you can see I've listed how the average person will spend a year using time. So we want to take a look here for a moment, because when we start to break that down, I brought a rope, and we're going to start by just showing you. This rope is 30.5 feet. It is really 365 inches. So each inch is naturally, right? There you go, is that particular day. So when you look here for a moment, let's start. Let's look at our chart here. When we see that the 24-hour shift within an inch that we need to eat, that's a given. So how much time is given to eating? If you were to just say, man, we're going to go for that one buffet and eat continuously for 24 hours, you can see here that it would be 31 days in your year you're going to spend eating. 31 days, nonstop, 24 hours. And then when it comes to sleeping, the average being that a person would sleep 8 hours, that's 121 days of your year is going to be spent sleeping. We're just going to keep on going. Keep on going. I mean, that's a lot of sleep. Some of you may be a little bit less. Some of you, not so much. But look at that right there. All that. Just sleeping and eating. What has happened? We haven't even gone anywhere yet. My pathetic life is right there on the balance of that rope. I thought, what in the world? I need to plan things a little bit better. But naturally then, you who work, and thank you for that. We all work. We all work to some. We spend that hour of working, put days together nonstop. You're going to grind it out, 92 days of work. Look at that. Here we go. 92 days of work, and your year is pretty involved, and it starts to deal with right here. Incredible. Now, you've only done eating and sleeping and going to work. That's a lot of your year already spent. It's worth noting. And for guys, we haven't even watched sports yet. So I said, well, what is the amount of time done for television or electronic entertainment? So naturally, that is 45 days of that year. If you strung it together, say, I'm just going to become a Hallmark holiday junkie and just watch 24 hours a day, you can see here you're dealing with 45 days in a row people will be entertaining themselves right there out of their year, nonstop. Now, I think it's worth noting for guys will spend 21 solid days watching sports. That means having guys knock themselves over or individual accomplishments of some form of goal. It's amazing. It's been noted that women 55 and up will spend, get this, 80 days watching television. 80 days. Now, that's 80 days of your year nonstop. Now, that's pretty shocking because that's really, it's equivalent to 37 hours per week. 37. That's like a full-time day of work, I should say, when you take a look at that. So, and then sorrowful to just say, too, that children 6 years and under, that they come about with 58 days of their existence is spent with television or with electronic entertainment. That's equivalent to 27 hours per week a child is before television. Just want to throw that out there. So when we take a look, it's important. Now, entertainment, eating, sleeping, going to work, but we haven't even gone anywhere. So you can see that we put in there drive time is 25 days. You spend 25 solid days driving. That's the average. That means going to your friends, going out to dine out, maybe just everywhere, even as well to work. So when you look then, and you haven't even gotten dressed yet. So we recognize that's important when we start dealing with getting ready because the average person spends time getting ready 37 minutes per day. Some of you look that way. So we want to just put it right here. 9 days spent nonstop putting on makeup, putting on what your clothes will be. That is just getting ready for the day. Then when you deal with something like that, look at how little left of the year we have. And then for those who actually go to church, it says that the average person spends 3 days, 24 hours going to church. That equates to basically they're putting in, and I just put that in, prior to the pandemic, the Christian will go to church 2.5, 2.5 times per month. So what I equated it was that would be if a Christian went to church on Sunday and during the midweek for an hour each, as well as maybe some time praying or reading their Bible. So the percentages are so low, we squeaked out 3 solid days, 24 hours of time. Now, can you imagine we have 45 solid days before the television and 3 days listening to what God might say to us? No wonder why Americans are stressed out. Did I get a witness? Yeah. Well, you know, you're the odd. You're probably throwing the average off a lot because here you are today. Way to go. But that leaves a person, when it comes right down to that, 39 days are left in your year to basically play sports or get over the flu. There it is right there. So when we look here, that's pretty much where it's at when it comes to 365 days and we're dealing with the aspect of time. So when we're working out this element, I think it's worth noting because all of us are dealing with that pressure, that stress of time. I know there's could be the area of just dealing with deadlines. Every week I'm dealing with deadlines. Some of you are dealing with the stress of what the meal will look like for the week, going shopping, taking your children somewhere, whether it's practice or then to school. All of that just adds up to the stress and trying to make that happen. Homework assignments, sitting in traffic, it all adds up. It's time wasted. It's stress that's there. Those are elements that you and I experience and start to evolve. And it's important for us because we start to need to see, is there any way maybe to make some adjustments? The year is coming on. I thought, well, let's just throw it on out there, make some practical tools. I've got three little practical ways for you to consider. And I think it's worth noting. Let's look at number one on your notes. You've got your bulletin card there. Evaluate your values. Your values. It's important for you. I often, at the end of the year, or maybe at the beginning, learned it from OSL, Operation Solid Lives, something called roles and goals. Like, Lord, what is it should I be focusing on personally? I always start there in a personal areas, but reevaluate those things that are important. Self-awareness. I mean, you really want to be a little bit brutally honest, because what you value, you can say I value that, but if you just look at your timeline on your rope and see where you put your time, you're going to say that's really what I value. I could say one thing, but my life involvement dictates something else. Some areas to evaluate. For me, I remember when the shock and awe came about, that productivity was a high value for me. It was very important, and I really would sacrifice a lot to accomplish things at the end of the day or the end of the week. Why? Well, it came to my attention, thank you, Jesus, that my self-esteem was connected to whether or not I was productive that day. I still do lists. You should see my scratch notes. I've got notes everywhere. Sometimes I come in for chapel prayer and take a tithe envelope and put the do list. I feel God's downloading me, but I like lists and I like to have a sense of accomplishment, but I don't want that to be my self-esteem. But that's how I can operate. I've got to be a check and balance. For some people, what they value, remember, we're going to evaluate our values. They value what we would call the biggest need at that time. They like that. They think that's it. I'm going to drop everything because somebody is boo-hooing and complaining. So we're going to now sit in that area. You're kind of like a nurse in the ER trauma center. I thrive on that. Yes, we're going to do that. That's how you operate. You might say, well, I don't want to be that way. But listen, that could be the way you roll. So being careful. Another one, a high value for those that never want to disappoint people. Therefore, you don't want to just say no. You're going to make sure if somebody wants something, you'll be there, you'll do it, you'll take care of that because you hate conflict. The fear of rejection is a high value, and so therefore, you're all about that, but be careful about that. I like, if we look for a moment, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, it says, the prudent understands where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. So just take for a moment, because I find if you value certain things that are important to you, and you say, this is a value to me, I'll guarantee other things have to be set aside, and you're going to hurt some people's feelings. So be prepared. Some of you are just going to be driven by someone else's decisions for you. But if God starts to speak to you about revaluing things, then you need to take a look at that. And the prudent understands where they are going. I understand. So don't be drifted by the wind. It only causes stress at time. You give everybody else, and then you are up from 11 till 4 in the morning getting it done, because nobody else is there to help you. But it's worth noting and important for us. You say, well, where do I begin? Well, that self-awareness, I would always start, Lord, check me out. Just like productivity is the number one value, even though I'd say family, family. That wasn't quite the outcome. So I like it in Psalms 139. Let's check it out just for a moment. We'll provide that for you there at home. 139, and this is from the Message Bible. Message Bible says this: investigate my life, O God, and find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, and then guide me on the road to eternal life. That's the Message Bible. So when you look at something like that, that's a pretty honest person. If you don't slow down enough to ask God these things, I'm telling you, He could really help you. He's helped me. Lord, check it out. What am I doing with my life? Because I feel so filled with anxiety, and I'm stressing about that. So be willing to change. And last time we were together, remember we were talking about changing your thinking, the Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And it says, by your thinking, knowing what God has for you. Your thinking produces really your action. Starts there. So, Lord, I'm going to change my thinking. I know I want to change, but where does it begin? Right there in your thinking. Now, here's a foundation question. Are you willing to admit you may need some change in your thinking? That's just start there. Sometimes we have to just consider that, saying, man, I just have a terrible approach to things, and I don't like myself, I don't like my family, I don't like my future. Well, Lord, how can I start to change those things? He'll help you. He will. Wouldn't it be great that I knew what God's plans are? So what are your top 10 values? Just start there. Consider that. What are your top 10 values? Let me give you my top 10 values, because I have discovered that relationships with people is a high priority that brings satisfaction with no regrets. Everybody understand, relationships with people brings me no regrets. Spending things to acquire stuff, I have found in interviewing others, there's regret. And interviewing me, there's regret. I like stuff. I'm goal-oriented, but not at the sake of relationships. One of my wonderful relationships are you. I'm so glad God has given me you. It's true. Love Hope Chapel. Love our guests who are here. I'm grateful for that. It keeps me balanced. Why? Because I don't want to disappoint you. I know if I'm not going to walk in a pure fashion before God, and you find out, it will really destroy you and devastate my own family. So you help me stay straight. Oh, I'm so grateful for you. Where would I be without you? I'd go off and be on an isolated island doing whatever and be a wreck. So let's get back to my five priorities. Thanks for bringing me back into thought. That was a little bit of a rabbit's trail. But here they are. My relationship with God is number one. My relationship to my wife is number two. My relationship to my family is number three. Dear married people, you make sure you make your marriage number one. And make sure the children or grandchildren see you embrace right there in the kitchen. You hug each other. You smooch each other. That is so reassuring to the children that mom and dad still like each other and they won't separate like all my friends at school. Let them see you are into each other. So when Ainsley and I do that, and she's just a good smoocher and hugger, and she smells so good. And then all the kids, all the grandkids start getting between our legs. Oh, we want some of that hugging bunch. It's just pretty cute. But it means something to them. It's helpful. I came from a family. My mom was Dutch Reformed. She never got a hug from her mom and dad. My mom, she's love personified, but was not into touching. She wasn't. So I was hug deprived growing up. That's why I hug you. It's like, come here. Anyway, but that's just the way it was at our house. So it's important. So again, Relationship with God, one. My wife, two. Families, three. My church family is number four. It's way up there. And number five, here it is, top five, is how I spend my money in regards to relationship. That's important to me. My money is invested in relationships, having people find Jesus, making sure that somebody there is benefited, acquiring things I will regret, but never in relationships. That's how I spend my money. That's important. And if you ever have a challenge, you need to kind of enhance maybe certain areas. Where am I at? What is it? I give you an assignment. The assignment is this. You go to Good Shepherd's Cemetery right on Beach in Talbert. Go in there, drive your car, and if you got a bike, just take your bike and get into the cemetery. Sit in your car among the graves and just let the Lord speak to you. It's very helpful. Very helpful. I'll let God do the rest, but just spend some time in that graveyard. It's a nice graveyard. I have a heads up and an advantage to all of you, because of all the funerals I have done in 36 years of lead pastoring. So I'm constantly being reminded how short my life is. It's important that you get a chance to say, okay, I need to really kind of prioritize because I'm not going to be here for very long. And you kind of wonder how I'd like to lay that out. Okay, so how many more years do you have left? Well, we just noticed our little yellow rope. It's important. But let's go to number two. Then envision your life by these values. Once you set those values, take a look here at Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Now, I'll tell you, nobody sits there at the holiday Thanksgiving table and say, yeah, how many more years do you think Aunt Tallulah has here? I don't know, but nobody. But we just know it's important for us to consider how fleeting it is. And you want to have an envision of your life. The values. You want to just, that's it. That's where I'm going. Why? Well, if you get a jigsaw puzzle this holiday time, 500-piecer, that's pretty easy to accomplish, 1,000, and you removed the photo on the box and you went at that puzzle, it would take you a long, you probably eventually would get there, but it's very difficult to put a puzzle together without the photo, isn't it? True. Some of you are puzzlers. Some of you are puzzled by what I'm talking about. But you need to have an image in front of you to say that's what it looks like. That's the same with your value. That's my value. That's where I'm going. If you don't have that, it's going to be pretty hard to prioritize anything in your life. We're going to probably take a look at the Christmas Carol, right? Remember Scrooge? Yeah, some of you. Way to go. The Christmas. Remember this dude, this ghostly image of the ghost of Christopher Marley shows up. Remember him? Just chained, all regrets. Man, who? That's what you kind of need sometimes. Right? Who? That dude's got regrets. I don't want to be like him. But we hang out with that dude, and we start living like that dude. Wow. Spend some time with Jesus. He might tell you something different. So what would your marriage look like? What would your family look like? What would your use of money look like differently if somehow you started to prioritize? Because I'll tell you, stressors come on when you ignore relationships. Just want to throw that out there. You ignore relationships, it actually builds stress in your life. I'm so grateful for God's goodness of saying, this is how you work it, Paul. Forgive them. Really? They don't deserve it. I'd like to have them belly up, crawl on their knees. Forgive them. It's for you. Forgive them. Work that through. But let's take a look here, because I find that needs, if dictating your life based on needs, you will be a stressed out person. But if you start to dictate your life based on values, you're going to start to have a better life. Stress is, it's difficult to remove, but I'm telling you, who wants to live based on those demands? I like to share a passage here. Everybody knows about Mary and Martha. Let's check it out here with regards to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. in Luke 10:38, the story of Mary and Martha. If you haven't read this one's pretty self-explanatory. Check it out, verse 38. And as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Boy, wouldn't that be great to invite Jesus into your home? And her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I have been there. I have complained." But let's go back to the story. "Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha," there's no sympathy here. No. "You are worried and upset over all these details, and there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So you just look for that story a little bit. Boy, I'll tell you, Jesus kind of zeroes in on some things. But you have some areas where Martha's time was dictated by a need. We got a need. We got to get it going. Chop, chop. Get your fannies up. Let's get going. Mary dictated more out of simply a value. Oh, I just want to be with Jesus. I'm just going to leave that there with you. You're going to have to make some cold, hard cuts to be with Jesus, because needs will dictate where you should go. There are times I will literally get on my knees, know it's time to pray, and I am thinking of what the day holds. I should probably check my emails. I'm thinking about this person, and I find I'll go to emails before I read my Bible. It's an intentional pull. You just have to kind of consider that. I want to have my values dictate where I'm going. Number three, here we go. Let's take a look at that. Execute a plan to implement these values. Execute it. That's important. What would it look like now that you have the values set up? There they are. Then it's one thing to say, "I know I need to change. I know I need to change." There are people who do not want to make and pay the cost of what it is to make a change. Some know they're going to get some flack from people that have expected you to jump when they needed it. So when we look here, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For the light makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." And that's a bottom line for me I know is purposeful when I get before the Lord. Many times after I praise God, I will sit quietly with a writing tablet because I believe God's going to give me ideas, some of us, how to make money, ideas, how to correct a matter that we caused. And if you act in obedience, the blessings of God are so rich. But I'll write some things down. Because when I did not, when God spoke to me about things, I felt I needed to jump up out of my prayer closet and off I went. And then I just got busy. But my time with God was most important. So awake to what you already know. I've just put some notes down. You already know these things. And I'm looking at a fairly healthy, strong Christian group. Some of you are still kind of determining where Jesus is going to be in your life. That's okay. That's all right. We're glad you're with us on the journey. But for us to know better, we get awakened to God should be, you can see there, first in your life. That's a given. Our theme this year, our theme here at Hope Chapel, is the kingdom, then you, in 2022. And it's Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We were asking you, put God to the test. Slow down, God first, and see where your life lands this year. Well, we're going to have some good testimonies. Because most of us would say, if there's any left over at the end of the day, I maybe pray and read my Bible as I fall asleep. But I like things fresh in the morning, man. Take the inspiration on your day. But put God first. We know those things to be wonderful and enriching. Spend time in God's Word. You can take a look at that verse. We just know that. I had people already today said they finished reading their Bible this year. I'm so glad. Steak dinner. That's what we're trying to, whatever it takes to get you and me into the Word. Some of you are reading your Bible through for the first time. Glory to God. You say, well, I didn't do it this year. Guess what? There's a new year coming. Woohoo! Okay. How about keep prayer a priority with God, naturally, and then fulfill your life purpose with eternity in mind. Don't ever forget that. You know, just again, money does speak. It says, I'm going to leave you. Money will leave you, or you will leave it. So you make sure you do what Jesus says, that you build treasures in heaven. Build treasures in heaven. Make a priority there. Value must be driven by those things that you know are important. I need to share this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It was an eye-opener to me that Jesus did not bow down to demands, even from people. It's like, really? Here it is. Check it out with me, Mark 1, 35. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place. What did he do? To pray. Man, if Jesus prayed, who am I to think I can go without a day of prayer? Go a little later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to the other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. You know, the crowd from the day before said, let's have another repeat of that day. But Jesus says, no, I'm not going, even though they want that, I'm going on to fulfill what I need to do. That's an important thing. But again, not everyone will be happy with your set of values. It's going to be important. And I'll tell you, our value, whatever you set, will be the path of freedom for you. It'll be a path of freedom. It really will. It won't be minus stress. It'll always be some stress. But that is really a true way of feeling a sense of really less stress. So let me just give you an illustration while we welcome the worship team up. I've got here tennis balls. Love playing tennis. I've got about 27 tennis rackets. But let's just say this tennis tube is your life in the week. And these three tennis balls are your values. These are your top values that you're going to make sure you fit in the week. These marbles are just things that are going to demand of your time during the week, and there's a lot of them. If I make sure that what I say is a value is already fit in the week, there'll be very little of these others to be able to fit. I could probably fit, I think I've tried, about 20 out of quite a few. But if I put all these marbles in my week before the tennis balls, naturally, I will barely fit one tennis ball in. This is an illustration to say you need and I need to make sure we place our values above anything else that would want to crowd them out. Well, I want to thank you for listening. It's important as we journey together about eliminating the dark side of stress. Let's take a moment here. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing, but let's take this opportunity, especially for our live stream audience, the desire that we have to bring our attention to the Lord and say, Lord, how am I going to make a change? There's one person I really don't want to disappoint, and I have numerous times, and that's Jesus. I know that. I realize it wasn't stress, it wasn't frustration, it was the Holy Spirit just saying, Paul, you could have done better. And sometimes that's what you might feel too. When you go to work and you haven't prayed, you didn't read your Bible, you know those things are important. But just feel like something's off, something's missing. And God just says, if you put me first, I'll take care of these things. Don't do your life without me. Well, let's take a look. Let me lead you in this prayer. Especially you who have never given your life to Christ. It's important that, again, a reminder for all of us, Jesus is first. Jesus is first. To love the Lord our God with all that we have. So, Father, right now we thank you. And I want to invite you, if it's time for you to give your life to Christ, let's pray this prayer together. It goes like this: Dear Jesus, I understand that my life is nothing without you, and that I have committed so many sins that you're my only Savior. And I confess to you now, Lord, forgive me, Almighty God, for doing life on my own. I surrender my life to you today. Come into my life. Heal me, Lord, and heal all the relationships that I've gone into without you. And now, Almighty God, I'm going to live for you and for your glory. Now help me to value what you value. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.